Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever misplaced something? If you have, you are not alone. A resident in Frankfurt, Germany knows this feeling all too well. See, 20 years after forgetting where he parked his car, he finally found it. Yeah. The man, now well over 76 years old, reported the car missing in 1997 to police when he couldn't find it after leaving it in a parking lot near an industrial building. After hearing nothing, the man assumed the car was permanently lost, but then a construction crew preparing to demolish the building and its accompanying lot in 2017 reported the presence of this derelict vehicle that was on this lot to the police. After checking through old records, the police located the two-decade-old report and reunited owner and car. Still, wouldn't you know it, but when the man and his daughter went to recover the car, right, it wouldn't start. By its very definition, there is this genuine joy that comes from being a disciple of Jesus Christ, right? You know this. A genuine, deep, and abiding joy. It comes from receiving such a redemptive message and then from sharing it. It comes from seeing physical smiles in church. It comes with servanthood generated sweat and scripture taking root and communities being made new. It's a splash of baptism and a taste of communion's grace and the sound of praise filling a room. There's joy in being a disciple of Jesus. But here's the thing. Have we misplaced that joy? Have you kind of parked those teachings, that understanding in some corner of your mind and forgotten it? See, Jesus didn't come just to spackle up the broken by doling out how-to advice or by being your fellow adrenaline junkie. Nor did he come just to make suggestions to you about how to be successful in business, real estate, or even in the bedroom. No, Jesus came to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God is near. Have we forgotten that? See, amazingly, in Luke 10, Jesus is commissioning this wider group of people to carry out that very message. Those people are not supposed to be plastic, fantastic, perfectly shaped, perfume ad-like people who then go door to door with all these subscriptions and cookies to sell. Instead, he's telling his people to bring grace, to bring rest, to bring truth, to bring what the Bible will call shalom. Why? The kingdom of God is near. This is a whole new way to look at the world. It's a whole new way to look at life. The kingdom of God is near. This isn't an optional addendum to your already filled and often anxious, frightened, stressed, and distracted squirrel, right, lines. No, this is meant to change everything. And this is a message, and this message can say that because it is that powerful and because you really can't just sort of be in the kingdom. I mean, this isn't something you sort of mess around with or dabble in. Why? Because Jesus didn't ever allow the kingdom of God to come across as if it's a buffet where you can take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, whatever we choose. Rather, Jesus consistently challenges us to take the pleasant things along with the necessary things for our growth and well-being. See, here's the thing. The kingdom of God is near, and it is serious business. And most likely, if we've misplaced our discipleship joy, it has something to do with us forgetting where we parked such realities and teachings. Has it been since 1997 that you've remembered these things? So today I want to take a little time in Luke chapter 10, 1 to 20, our gospel lesson, to point to 6 points, to ponder on 6 points that fall out of this wonderfully challenging little section. And once reclaimed, I believe they'll enhance our discipleship joy. Here they are. First, Did you notice here from Luke chapter 10 as you were listening to it that this walk of discipleship is not meant to be done alone? It's not meant to be done alone. I mean, please, if you take a look at the section here, Jesus sends out the disciples in pairs. He does it two by two. This is incredible. So before we get to that, allow me to clear something up here. In many translations, the number sent out is 70, and others it's 72. Now, this little nuance goes all the way back to a difference between the Hebrew Bible and an ancient Greek translation called the Septuagint. Now, both connect to various sections of the Old Testament, most notably Genesis 10, where 70 Gentile nations are mentioned. In other words, the power of the number 70 or 72 lies in the fact that the message of the kingdom of Christ, of salvation, of the cross, of the empty tomb, is meant for the whole world. It's meant for Jew and Gentile. It's meant for slave and free, for black and white, for rich and poor, for male and female, for everybody, and it will change everybody. So whether you're a 70 or a 72 person, in the end it's a message for all, and it's easily divisible by two. They were sent out in pairs. Why? Easy. For protection, for mutual encouragement, for strength. If one person is right brain, the other might be left. If one's a painter, the other can be a pointer. See, let's be honest. This discipleship thing can be hard, and it is always easier with a companion, with a mentor, with a friend, with a compatriot. Whether we see conversions or we simply shake the dust off our sandals, discipleship is always easier and better together. A group of many sometimes is too much. Alone can be rather lonely. But disciples are meant to be together, meant to study together and serve together, to speak together, to shape lives together. So don't go it alone. Don't let the ease of the online stream or the fear of the changing face of the pandemic or personality quirks that you or others have or the presence of long-standing health issues or you're newer here, you're older here, you're whatever. Don't let all of these kind of turn your posture into that of a permanent stiff arm. Try somehow to engage again. You need fellow travelers, not just for mission, but for growth and support. So here's the thing, don't go it alone. Second, do you despair over the changes that are happening, and some of those even in the church? Well, remember that God has always done much with so-called unlikely people. Here's the thing, attendance patterns are changing. Ministries and faces are different than they once were. But folks, I happen to believe that God has called us together here in mission for a reason. And the message is the same as it's always been, as is the need. In fact, freelance writer Rich Dibbler will actually tell it like this, a story from his own life. Some years ago, while our family was vacationing in northern Minnesota, Dibbler says, we decided to visit a small country fair near the town of Babbitt. There weren't many people there that morning. In fact, we were the only ones visiting the carnival ride. So when I climbed into the tilt-a-wheel with my three kids, we hoped the operator would give us a decent ride, even though we were the only ones on it. Little did we know what we were getting involved in. The first few minutes were rather fun. We laughed. We enjoyed the funny feeling inside our stomachs, but after a while, it got to be not so much fun. And after some more time, way past the length of an ordinary ride, I began to feel queasy. I wanted to get out, but I couldn't. First, we were going too fast to escape. Second, the centrifugal force had me pressed firmly against the back of the car. I was immobilized. Every time we spun past the operator, I looked pleadingly at him. Please, read my eyes. I need to get off. But the operator kept the ride going. I guess he thought he'd let it run until more customers showed up. After another few minutes, the ride became miserable. The funny feeling inside my stomach had turned into a churning concoction that had the faint resemblance of my morning's breakfast. I had no control over my life. I was caught going around in circles, held down by a merciless carnival ride operator. Only after what seemed like 3 or 4 hours did he finally relent and stop the ride. I'm sure I looked completely green by this time. I staggered off the platform, made it about 20 feet, where I bent over and lost my breakfast. Of course, my kids gathered around, cheering me on. They thought this was the best part of the ride. Then Debler says this: if you're caught in the grip of a diabolical ride that started out fun but has turned into an addiction, if you're going around in circles, powerless to get off, you know the helpless feeling of losing control of your life. And you know what it means to need God's supernatural help to stop the ride so you can escape. Wow. Folks, have you ever been on such a ride because of sin? Ever felt that helpless? Ever lost your breakfast because of choices that you've made? Do you know the healing of Christ? In a similar way, God commissioned the 70 to spread this message of salvation. He can do great things with people willing to simply tell their story. God can do great things with ordinary people who live and serve and share about Him. Third, did you notice here in Luke 10 that the emphasis on the passage is not on the miracles done, but on the willingness of those serving to be dependent? Think about it. Jesus says, take no bag, no purse, and most importantly, take nothing for granted. You might be received, you might not. The only thing that they knew was that Jesus was with them and that they would make it home. Think of it this way. On this weekend, we're celebrating, you know, as you get together with your families and that, we're celebrating on Monday Independence Day. And that can be a beautiful thing in our country, but do you realize that in the hands of Thomas Jefferson, independence was the right not to be indentured to a foreign government? By the time that we finally get to Frank Sinatra, independence has become the right to have no regard for the attitudes and well-being of anyone but myself. It's doing whatever I please, without ever having to ask permission or to say, I'm sorry. See, today personal autonomy is even farther and more blatant. Independence has changed, and with it, our country and the world. Instead, what if we turned off our cell phones just for a little while, perhaps, and prayed with our families? What if we scheduled time to read scripture with them and not just scheduled time to play sports with them? What if we skipped one meal just to appreciate food again, or maybe even to decide that we would give the money or the food that we would have consumed to somebody that needs it more than us? And what if we believe that we need each other here in the body of Christ to serve together, to walk together, to actually subordinate our needs to the God who seeks and saves? In other words, what if we celebrated the independence we have because we are dependent on God? The kingdom is near. Fourth, do we realize that there is still a harvest and the laborers are few? Remember, there is much to do and much to be, and so we can use your help, young and old, and we don't have everything figured out and we don't have everything written down. And yeah, sometimes the established ways are best, and sometimes we just need to try something new. We all have gifts and there's a place to serve, but unless we ultimately pull together, we will be pulled apart. There are ways to give, to serve, to lead, and to follow together in a variety of ways, also that ultimately that message of Jesus Christ gets out there. Fifth, do we ourselves know the peace and the strength that we have the joy to proclaim? In other words, do we know what to fear? Do we know what to fear and what frees us from that fear? See, one woman in Oregon, she learned this principle the hard way. The Washington County Sheriff's Office responded in April of 2019 to a 911 call from a woman who reported hearing a burglar locked in her bathroom. She saw the shadows shifting under the door of something moving in there. And after officers appeared on scene, they heard a persistent rustling under the same door. So after issuing several commands to come out and having brought in the canine unit for backup, the police finally opened the door. Quote, "With guns drawn, deputies opened the door to encounter the suspect, an automated robot vacuum," the sheriff's office said, end quote. Quote, "We entered the bathroom. We saw a very thorough vacuuming job being done by a Roomba vacuum cleaner," Washington County Sheriff's Deputy Brian Rogers reports. Yeah. So you know this to be true, right? There are many things to fear in life. And yet in the eyes of God, some are more significant than others. And these smaller fears can consume us. They can even keep us from living the life that God has for us. Still in the face of such fears, God has called himself Father, steady and faithful in his care. He's called himself Savior, one who's overcome our greatest enemies of sin, death, and Satan. He calls himself our Comforter and our Counselor, one who is ever present by baptism and belief, and he's going to walk with us and see us through. By faith and constant feeding on God's word, I pray you know this. I pray you haven't just heard that he's the water of life, but you've tasted and seen. I pray you just don't know he's the bread of life, but you've experienced it. That you don't just know he's the way, the truth, and the life, but you've yielded to the compass of his grace and truth. See, we cannot give way to that which we cannot give away. We cannot give away that which we do not have. So pause today in the week ahead. Take in the enormity of God's inexhaustible love and grace for you. That amazing grace that really has a sweet sound that saved a wretch like you. And then when you realize that, you'll have these inexhaustible reserves to start giving away. Finally, sixth. Do you realize the kingdom of God is near and it is serious business? Yeah, let's be honest. Rejection has grave consequences. We see that here. And you must know that those who have heard this message the longest, the message of law, gospel, sanctification, can be the most susceptible to forget or display or downplay it, dismiss it or downplay it. I mean, forget where it's parked, right? And I get it. The sections of woes, that's verses 13 to 16 in this section. Oh boy, those are tough. They're tough because we don't want to be associated with that blatant and blistering message. They're tough because we don't like to think that good people will somehow be outside of the faith. If they're outside of the faith, they'll still be okay somehow because they're good people. And they're tough verses because there are some people that we like. There are some people that we love that will fall into populations like those that, well, that are talked about in Chorazin and Capernaum and Bethsaida. Frankly, we'd prefer Jesus not say these verses. I mean, we'd prefer that we not preach on these verses. I mean, because this makes our church seem, come on, intolerant. And at best, unfriendly. Now, with that said, we shouldn't be jerks about proclaiming this because we're only sitting here by the sheer grace of God. And the fact, and that fact should humble us, as we live theologically and morally and biblically different, upholding law and gospel as it's been upheld for us. So, as verses 18 to 20 say, whether there is reception when you speak and do, or rejection, we, as his disciples, like those that have gone before, are called by Jesus to witness that the kingdom of God is near. Satan has fallen like lightning. Death has been defanged. Evil will be expelled as we push into places with the light of God, with the light of Christ. We simply get to rejoice because our names are written in heaven. And you know what? This just begs the question for me. Have we misplaced something? Tullian Trakvijan once said it so well, a little devotion he wrote. I'll close with this. At least twice in the past year, I've been late for a meeting or an appointment, and I haven't been able to find my car keys. Certain that either my wife or one of my children have misplaced them, I have frantically run from room to room, assigning blame. Who was playing with my keys? I put them right here on the counter and now they're gone. They don't just vanish into thin air. Who picked them up? Where are they? I'm late. And right when I'm about to order, he says, mass executions. I walk into my bedroom one last time to look, put my hand in my pocket and find my keys. They've been there the whole time. Well, Track Vigen says, every time I tell that story, people laugh, and rightfully so. I mean, who frantically looks for car keys in his own pocket? Me. That's who. And he says this. The truth is, we all typically live this way, frantically and frustratingly searching for something that we already have. The gospel of God's good news, the gospel is God's good news announcement that everything we need, we already possess in Christ. Because of Jesus' finished work, Christians already have all the justification, approval, significance, security, freedom, validation, love, righteousness, and rescue that we desperately long for and look for in 1,000 things infinitely smaller than Jesus. Folks, have you misplaced something? The kingdom is near. Do you know its joy? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this weekend of Independence Day, this weekend around Independence Day, remind us of the dependence that we have on Christ. Remind us of the joy that we get to have because Jesus, you came and died and rose again for us. And drive that deep within, O Lord. Help us not to misplace the teachings and the beauty of a section like Luke 10. Drive it deep. Help us to revisit them often. So that indeed, by your teaching and spirit, by the love of a father, the work of a son, we might know the joy that comes from following you and in being your disciple. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.